Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the Wisconsin DMA and the International Society for Strategic Marketing. Tom Fishburne this week writes about the NFT bandwagon. Somebody commented. Maybe the reason why everyone thinks our content is totally worthless is because we haven't offered it for sale as NFTs. And if you don't know what NFT means, I don't either, but it means something to the effect of the original art, the original ad, the original creative piece. So Scott Adams offered some NFTs of Dilbert, and he actually made quite a bit of money, I guess, and he gave it to charity, I think. But the idea was that this was the original art that then was reproduced in all the newspapers and digital areas. And brands have scrambled to jump on the NFT bandwagon, right? Charmin even introduced the first ever NFT art by toilet paper brand. I don't even know what that is. I don't want to know. The only limiting factor stopping brands from incorporating proliferating NFTs are internal creativity and external interest. I was going to say that the thing about NFT, there's things called sells, and you could buy, a lot of people bought, like the original Bugs Bunny cartoons. They would take a clear sheet and drop it down, and then another sheet and drop it down, and they would photograph it, and that's how they would do the animation. They would literally paint on clear cellophane, and so they were called sells, and they're very, you know, they're wonderful, because you never see them like that. You know, once they go through the TV, the old analog TV, they're just not as clear and crisp as they are like when they were originally painted. So that I think is kind of the way the thing went. And after they finished making the images and stringing them together, then, not too long, it might have been 20 years ago, it might have been 30 years ago, they might have gotten the original artist to sign them or something like that. But they had to have certificates of authentication, because anybody could take, you know, a frame of Bugs Bunny and build one, but these were the originals, and so they're. With any new shiny thing that comes along in marketing, we sometimes put tactics before strategy. We almost always do. Before thinking how to create NFTs, it's important to start thinking about why. Why it would matter? Does anybody care? And here's the good part: most brands don't have vast legions of devoted customers. Or sometimes it's followers, not customers so much. Think Harley Davidson, for example. You know, most people, there are way more people who'd like to have a Harley and consequently are interested in the Harley swag than actually own a Harley, right? So it doesn't have to be customers. It can be just affinity people. Most people don't think about most brands nearly as much as most marketers think they do. And that is really true, you know. The truth is, you want to have an eye on the data, because what's working might keep working even though the marketers are sick of it, because they've been thinking about it night and day for months or years. Okay, and here's another one by Fishburne. We need to stay focused on our marketing priorities and not get distracted by every shiny new, look, a squirrel. See, there's a squirrel out there. Okay, and here's a good one too. This year will be all about AI and podcasts and nano influencers and social commerce and blockchain and voice search and live video. Shouldn't we talk about our strategy first? Anyway, this will also be the year of VR. Yeah, this is the way marketing goes. We're always attracted to the shiny objects. And for those of you who don't know, every day's show is available on podcasts on Google Podcasts. I don't know about the others because I'm not on them. But I believe that they're available on the other podcast channels, because they say once Google picks you up, the rest do. And so, you know, if there's a cartoon or if there's a commercial or something, I usually narrate it a little bit so it makes some sense, or I cut it out. Those are actually shorter and more to the point slightly, and they go downloading right to your phone. So how cool is that? Okay, so thank you, Tom. Now let's talk about brands are reallocating. Thank you, Lori Sullivan, who I cite regularly, reallocating ad budgets as privacy policies put them in a tailspin. Privacy policies have caused marketers to reallocate advertising budgets from one platform to another. They're trying to figure out TV contextual marketing and leveraging their first-party assets. Any one-to-one relationship with a customer is gold. What does that remind you of? It reminds you of sustainable direct marketing and direct mail, where for 170-some years, Heimacher Schlemmer has been mailing to their customers, and it keeps working. Okay? More than $200 billion spent in the mobile ad industry will be disrupted. Wow. What do you know? I can't imagine. I know my kids, you know, they have one or two preferred vendors like Amazon, and they can order from their phone because, you know, they don't have to fill in the order forms and stuff. But shopping on your phone, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, unless you're within one of those things. So anyway, so they're looking at TikTok and other places. They should be looking at direct mail. Here's an interesting story or an interesting paragraph. Facebook, if you don't agree to the new terms of service, which basically are tracking you more carefully on WhatsApp, they're going to gradually reduce your services until WhatsApp quits working. Time to move. Interestingly, the downloads have declined 43% since between January and April. And my wife, who manages some Facebook pages for small businesses, all of a sudden she wasn't able to update them, and they had to make a change, and they did, and it didn't work on her machine. And so she did get in touch with somebody at Facebook, and they said, well, you have to turn on your allow my location to be visible with Google on your phone. She says, I'm working on my desktop. They said, just do it. She doesn't like doing it. I don't like doing it either. But if you don't do it, your admin privileges get taken away on pages you're managing, or can. It seems. I don't know. So first party is getting nastier, and what are we going to do? And that's the real question. What are we going to do? Which brings us to the feature article from Todd Gordon. And I've been wanting to get to this since Thursday. It's really, really good. Or Friday, May 14th. And what he says is that the industry is busy debating the implications of the loss of online identifiers due to actions by Google and Apple. But we should instead consider the possibility that this entire battle is predicated on the fallacy that performance marketing requires person-level data in the first place. So I looked up performance marketing, and basically it's the idea that you have to know all the stuff about somebody to serve them an ad real time, okay? And you know, you track all this and track all that and track all that, and then some action happens, and that's performance marketing. Now, in my book, Spinning Straw into Gold, okay, an executive guide to the magic of turning data into money, which is more like the philosophy of data and money and how that all works together, and really most people don't get it, so I highly recommend that as a primer to why this doesn't work. But one of the things that direct marketers claimed as far back as the early 80s, that when I got involved, was that we have all this big data. We have this data on you. We know all about you. And of course, that wasn't true. Not if you ever tried to actually rent a list and actually tried to target a market. You'd find out that there was precious little. And most of it didn't work because only half the people read their mail and only half the people had credit cards. So the best bet was to rent a list of L.L. Bean or Lands End or something, where you knew that they at least read their mail and ordered remotely. And that meant you knew nothing about them. You didn't know much about what they bought. You maybe knew how recently they bought. That was about it. So that was the first lie. We know all about you. And the second lie is, so we can predict what you'll do. And that's the basis of performance marketing. And that's why this is such a powerful article. Because you don't know what you'll do. Sorry. You know, I bought something last night. I wasn't planning to 2 days ago. I was basically trying to avoid it. Something, you know, you might have 2-3 days ago, you might have thought I needed to, but I didn't need to. And that's the way it is with life, you know. What Todd is saying is, rather than foment about what we can't get our hands on anymore, we should think about getting back on track to marketing in general. He says performance doesn't require audiences. And of course, I was on the board of a theater company and it does require audiences, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that performance marketing has become synonymous with one-to-one targeting. And, thanks in large part to the rise of direct-to-consumer brands that became famous and profitable through robust direct marketing, but I don't think he means what I mean with the Wisconsin DMA. This obsession with the need to know everything about a consumer before you serve them an ad, that's performance marketing at its core. And only serving ads to consumers you can identify isn't the only way to find new customers, and maybe it's not even the right way. Way to go, Todd. This is awesome. You know, I used to say, well, if we knew everything, we could find the six people that would buy for sure. But you can't drive sales with six people. You know, the more highly targeted you are, the less impact you're going to have. And it's very difficult to scale highly targeted advertising. You know, we joked about that when we were in when I got started in direct mail, that we are the rifle where everyone else is the shotgun. Well, there was a sense in which, you know, we could pick a list rather than just put an ad on TV. But, you know, there's a different audience for Saturday morning cartoons than there is for afternoon soap operas, if there is even such a thing anymore. Or game shows, or, you know, there are birds of a feather still flock together. That's still true. So anyway, it was a joke. We weren't really rifles. But with social media getting smaller and smaller and smaller targets, and of course, the bigger problem is they can't really deliver the target you're after, which is who's going to buy my product right now? That's the target I want. We're not going to give it to you. Facebook doesn't know. Not only doesn't Facebook know, the customer doesn't know. Why don't we face that? Why don't we face that lie? That we don't know what we're going to do next. Why do we think we can predict what someone else is going to do next? It's not possible. Okay? But the big problem is it actually scales backwards. Yeah, sure, when you're at startup and you have no customers, it's better to do something than nothing. But the worst is you don't know who sees it and doesn't buy. You don't know the null set, the non-buyers that were targeted. If you're behind a walled garden like Facebook, you just take their word for it. It's really, in a certain sense, no more targeted than anything else. Now, I had a wonderful talk with Jeff Taran out in San Francisco yesterday. We talked for, almost an hour just to get to know each other. And he said, what's really amazing is we're getting our typical call is digital doesn't seem to be working anymore. Can you help us? What a great call. Right? It's great that they're positioned out there. I think it's Mike Gunderson. Is that right? The agency? Anyway, I told Jeff I'd mention him and tag him. So, Jeff, you'll have to pass this along to Mike. Anyway, they've been in business a long time. They're solid direct marketers. They're solid in mail. And they are now helping the digital people who were convinced that the way to target and the way to find new customers is by precision targeting. Well, we proved that wasn't right in direct mail. You can over-target. In fact, on startups, I highly recommend that you'd use a wide variety of media and offers to winnow out the ones that don't work so well. That's just basics. That's basic direct marketing. But anyway, so these brands matured and saturated their social channels, and they've expanded their efforts in TV and even direct mail, right? So-called traditional. In doing so, these brands have both accelerated and unlocked new growth opportunities, and they've done so in a highly attributable fashion. In fact, direct mail is the best thing for attribution. It's the best thing for testing because there's enough impact that you actually see a reaction if you're mailing a significant number. You see a differential between the people who saw it and didn't see it. We do what's called holdout tests, where we take the 200,000 or something we were mailing, and we keep out 20,000. We don't mail them. And we say, well, how did the ones we didn't mail do? And we can do matchbacks because we have their physical address. So we can tell if they bought whatever channel they bought through, unlike last touch, first touch, and all that nonsense. Okay, so these growth junkie brands have discovered that performance marketing and identity aren't joined at the hip. Absolutely true. Read Claude Hopkins' book, Scientific Advertising, at scientificadvertising.com, and you'll find out that we were doing this in direct marketing in the 1920s based on 50 years of proven history. Advertising is rife with examples wherein significant performance is being driven in a closed-loop manner without employing personal-level identity data. We can help you. We can help you grow faster. Direct mail is far more scalable. I'm doing a startup with a .com, and, you know, it's a chicken egg. We could get advertiser money if we had more, you know, participants on the site. It's a social site. Or we could get more, participants if we advertised more. Chicken egg. But with mail, we can deliver 2 million bona fide e-commerce buyers in that market, and for under 3 cents per piece. My, oh my, oh my, mail is powerful. Okay, so even direct mail, we're undergoing digital transformations and becoming more data-driven in targeting and attribution. I would contend, not really, no. We've actually been that all along. We probably were better at it in the 70s when I got started. The data inputs are actually more privacy compliant. Yeah, the government doesn't want to regulate mail because they make money on it. In these channels than they are within the walled gardens. Absolutely, because you got to take the walled gardens' word for it that they're targeting who they say they are, and they don't tell you who they targeted. You just know who bought, and you need both pieces. In these channels, even growth brands that came up with direct marketing social channels are finding that their performance goals, both in terms of ROI and measurability, you know, somebody said to me, you mean you can measure mail? Are you kidding me? Again, go read Claude Hopkins' book. Can be satisfied when targeting on a contextual basis. In other words, we know what list to rent. What an idea. Because they bought something. Legit. Driving outcomes instead of a click wandering around lost, which I am half the time. Driving outcomes through advertising doesn't require deep psychographic and behavioral knowledge of the individual. Right, you're putting in front of them and seeing what happens. We know this because there are channels that don't deal in personal level data that are out there delivering tangible, clearly quantified performance every day. As the tide turns toward privacy first, it's these channels that will light the way for an outcome-driven future that can simultaneously respect consumer privacy while delivering robust, quantifiable advertising ROI. And if you don't know how to get started, give Jeff a call or call me, John at WDMA. Reach out, WDMA. We got lots of content there. We got special members-only content, and you can come visit. And there's some, like I said, there's some heavy hitters going to be here on the meetup. So have a great day. Like and share. Your friends will know you're smart. Bye-bye.